the truth.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It is the sliding door of free speech. It's not a revolving door. You don't go in and out. You just slide the door. It's convenient. It doesn't take up a lot of space. It doesn't knock into people. What more would you want in a door? So go to republicbroadcasting.org. Click on the donate button. Send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Phone it in to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Today is the beginning of the week. It's Monday. We have Mark Collett. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. It's great to be here. Lovely to be starting my week, as always, with you on RBN. And I'm sure we've got lots of exciting things to talk about. Especially with what's going on with Donald Trump at the moment. It seems as if the whole of America is going to be torn down the middle, because essentially they're suggesting that they want to start court proceedings in the middle of the primaries.
It's high risk. And so far, all of these indictments against Trump seem to be backfiring. And he's got a bigger lead than ever over his Republican rivals, and some of them are they don't know what to do with him. Nikki Haley saying, "I'm tired of talking about Donald Trump." Well, that doesn't do her any good. And then you got this Indian guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, and he's saying, "Well, I would pardon Donald Trump," and he's rising, but he's not rising at Donald Trump's expense. He's rising at the other wannabe's expense. So who knows? It's extremely risky for them to be doing this. I think it's, if anything, it's likely to help Donald Trump. But what do you think?
Well, it shocked me, and very few things sort of shock me as much as this has, because I was looking at the recent sort of projections and also at statements made by other people who are in this race. And one of the interesting projections is that DeSantis is now saying that he is slipping behind, that it's getting away from him. Now, DeSantis seems to have done pretty much everything humanly possible to catapult himself into the position where he could run against Biden. And I believe that there would be less chance of electoral fraud, less chance of a stitch-up with DeSantis than there would with Trump. But it seems even DeSantis is taking a whooping from Trump. Everyone is. And this kind of you must have heard of the Streisand effect. Well, this is kind of almost like the political...
What is it? Remind me, what is it?
The Streisand effect is when something comes out that you don't want people to talk about, and you try to prevent people from talking about it, and that inadvertently makes everyone want to talk about it even more. And this is almost like a political Streisand effect, in that they're trying to silence Trump. They're trying to say, "Oh, look, it's all done, it's over, it's finished, Trump's done, nothing more to see, please move on, vote for a different candidate." And the more they say this, the more this seems to actually have the opposite of their desired effect, the more this seems to get to a point where Trump is getting more and more popular. And I find this incredible. But I think they are turning Trump into the de facto anti-establishment candidate. So whatever your position is, regardless of, you know, whether you are somebody who would naturally support Trump or not, whether you're sort of a libertarian, whether you're, you know, an old school Republican, whether you're a bit of a civic nationalist, I don't think it really matters anymore. I think that now Trump is your candidate. And I think people are getting more and more upset about the treatment of Donald Trump. And this is actually having a massive, massive effect on levels of support for him. And rather than having the effect that I think the establishment were hoping this would have, and they were hoping this would, you know, make him look like a complete fool, he would be a candidate that no one would see as even slightly credible, it's doing the opposite. It's actually making him more of a credible candidate. And I think it's making him more of a credible candidate because, quite simply, the establishment are saying, more or less, that he is such a threat to them that fundamentally, when it comes down to it, they have to, by any means necessary, more or less ban him, imprison him. And I don't think people like that. I think people are rather annoyed by this. And I think if they're not careful, they're going to end up turning Trump from a man that, in all fairness, was a bit of a bumbling flop as a president, into almost a legend that the whole nation gets behind. And America has kind of a history of getting behind kind of anti-heroes or sort of, you know, outlaws or people who didn't exactly, people who maybe had certain good features to them, but didn't exactly fly straight. And I think that's what's going to happen with Trump. I think more and more people are going to get behind him. And I think fundamentally, a lot of this anti-Trump stuff is going to completely backfire on the establishment, and more people are going to vote for him. And in the primaries, I can't see him losing. I can't see him losing the Republican primaries. But here's the interesting thing, Patrick. If he wins the Republican primaries, if he comes out of this as, you know, their Republican nominee, how do you think the Republican Party will treat him? How do you think the Republican Party will treat that? Because fundamentally, the Republican Party are going to face an interesting position, aren't they? Because if they're going to be looking at a position where their candidate could effectively be dragged into court at any time during the presidential race, how do you think that will affect them? Do you think they will rally around him? Do you think there will be people within Congress who attempt then to block things that are happening to Trump? Or do you think they'll throw him under the bus?
Well, a lot of things could happen. There are those who would certainly want to throw him under the bus. You know, you think of somebody like Mitt Romney, for instance. There are a lot of people in the Republican Party who want to throw him under the bus. And things could happen. Both in the Democratic Party, there are people who want to throw Biden under the bus. And you've got some third-term congressman that nobody's ever heard of. I can't recall his name even. He's either from Ohio or West Virginia. He's from somewhere there. I'll see if I can find his name. And he's been pushed as a primary challenger, but right now he's going through the motions of calling on other people to run in the primary, and he's calling on Joe Biden to step aside. You've done such a great job. It would cement your legacy if you step aside and let somebody else take over. I can't remember the guy's name, but I think everybody will be hearing more from him, and you'll know. I'll probably say it later in the show. It, of course, oddly enough, the two people he called on by name, Illinois Governor Pritzker and Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro, he called on two Jews. He wants a Jew to be president. But if no Jew is willing to be president, then he'll be president on behalf of the Jews. I guess that's what he's saying. And then the other thing that's interesting that's happening is Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who has been he's a Democrat, but he has from time to time sided with Republicans on issues and thwarted the Democrats' agenda from time to time. And he is saying he may leave the Democratic Party. Now, there was another senator, a bisexual senator, Kirsten, what's her name, from Arizona, Sonoma, Kirsten, I think her name's Kirsten Sonoma, and she left the Democratic Party technically, but she still caucuses with them. But the thing about Joe Manchin is he has been rubbing elbows with somebody in the Republican Party, and they're promoting a kind of a centrist third party. So you might wind up with a somewhat viable third party option. And if that's the case, it's going to make bus throwing of the elderly, whether it's Biden or Trump, it's going to make it a lot easier. So I'm bringing that up. But I agree with you. I think Trump is going to run away with the Republican nomination. And in a fair election against Biden or a fair three-way election, I think Trump would be unbeatable. But the key operating word there is fair. So I kick it back to you.
You see, I'm not a fan of Trump, and you might have picked that up, but I do think Trump still does some good things for nationalism. I think he promotes conversation. I know, and you're a forerunner of this, Patrick, and I've been going around sort of basically talking about your activity to a lot of people. And I was speaking to some people from the National Justice Party, and I said to them, you guys want to think about going to Trump rallies. You know, you guys want to go there and speak to people at Trump rallies and see how far you get. And they were a bit sort of at first, well, maybe, maybe not. And I said, look, Dr. Patrick Slattery's done this and he's had amazing success there. And you'll actually find that people at the Trump rallies, these were people who will have started off at best as hardcore sort of civnats, and at worst, you know, sort of people who supported Trump because, you know, they wanted, they liked the MAGA cap. They liked the red cap, basically. And a lot of these people have slowly but surely drifted away from Trump's sort of, they're still Trump supporters, but they've drifted away from his core talking points and are now far more in line with our core talking points. So what is good for white people, Jewish power, you know, the COVID scam, numerous other things. And those are the kind of people you will find at a Trump rally. And I said that you'd had good successes talking to those people. And I suggested to them that they tried this. And they have been. And they've been having incredible success. And now you've got NJP people going out, going to these Trump rallies, talking to people, starting to slowly but surely make progress with them and find inroads. And if I was told I had to support one or the other and somebody put a gun to my head, I would definitely support, obviously, Trump across Biden. But you wouldn't even have to put the gun to my head. I'd support Trump ahead of Biden because he does promote the conversations and brings people together who are susceptible to our ideas. And that's a good thing. And those people are, in my humble opinion, fertile ground for us. And I believe as such, the idea of four more years of Trump as president would be something that would do incredible things for the nationalist community. And I think it would do incredible things for two reasons. Now, reason one is fundamentally, Trump would say, talk about and legitimize discussion around points that are important to us. That is really something you could never underestimate. You know, when I started making my videos on YouTube in 2016, discussing issues such as white genocide, you know, often got people to roll their eyes, oh, white genocide, oh, what's white genocide, mate? Oh, you know. But now, terms like white genocide have been mainstream to the point where people like Elon Musk use them. So it's amazing how things can fundamentally change in a very, very short period of time based upon somebody like Donald Trump using our talking points. So that's the first thing. But the second reason why a Trump presidency would be important and why we shouldn't underestimate a Trump presidency is because Trump causes the worst elements of the left and the worst elements of the anti-white groupings in America to take their mask off. So since Biden got in, we haven't seen as many BLM, Antifa, sort of race riot type events. But those things happened regularly under Trump. And I think Biden calmed some of this. However, I will say that I think it's very, very important that these people do show who they are, that their masks come off, that they show their true intentions. Because by not showing their true intentions, it's very, very unfortunate. And often, by them not showing their true intentions, people forget that that threat exists. And I personally believe that under a Trump presidency, you would see a huge number of these far leftist, anti-white groups coming out, taking their mask off, and the public would be exposed to this far more often. And I think that's important, because I want the public to be exposed to it. And that might sound harsh, but I do want the public to see exactly what we are up against, exactly what's out there and is out to get them. Because if they don't, they are going to keep voting the same way. They're going to be stuck in the same patterns. They're going to be doing all of the same things they've always done. And they're going to sleepwalk to their own annihilation. And that's something I don't want. I don't want them sleepwalking to their own annihilation. I want people to wake up, understand the threat posed to them, and I want them to, you know, essentially vote for change, or if not vote for change, come together with other white people who, you know, are going to gather together and form pro-white communities as a shield wall against our impending doom. I think all of those things are really, really important. And I think Trump brings those things about. He facilitates them. And despite the fact I have very little sympathy for the position he's in, I can see the positives of another Trump presidency. Now, I'm not suggesting that we all go out and we campaign for him. I'm not suggesting we donate to his campaign at all in any way. That money should go to proper nationalist causes. But I do think that if we get the chance to vote for Trump, that that's what nationalists should do to bring about a situation which will expose more people to our ideas and to the true mask off horror of, you know, the liberal leftist anti-white regime.
A few months ago, when we were having one of these conversations, you referred to Trump as the accelerationist candidate. And, you know, people always say, oh, things have to get worse before they get better. So, you know, let's hope Hillary wins. Let's hope whatever. And of course, you know, we've got Biden. We've got that. But talk about acceleration. You had it under Donald Trump, and maybe you had it even in a more honest way, because people had voted for Trump thinking he represented, well, he did represent something. He absolutely represented a lot of things. It's, you know, some things blatantly. I mean, he built a wall. Mexico paying for the wall was a stupid talking point, but I guess he got some mileage out of it. But build a wall. At one point, he was talking about ending birthright citizenship. He was talking about sending back all these illegal aliens. And so he got all those issues out there. And he was implicitly, if not pro-white, he was at least implicitly anti-white, which is something. And he's brought that there. And now you're starting to get, like, there's this Indian guy named Vivek Ramaswamy I mentioned a few minutes ago. And I think he's taking up, maybe he feels he's in a position to go a little bit more explicitly pro-white. But Donald Trump did bring a whole bunch of issues, but not just, it's not just the things got.
so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Position to go a little bit more explicitly pro-white, but Donald Trump did bring a whole bunch of issues, but it's not just that things got more extreme under him, but they got extreme in the face of a president who was saying he wants to do such and such, and if he were more capable, if he had the kind of smarts that Vladimir Putin had, maybe he would have found out a way to get some of these things done. He didn't, and he surrounded himself with a combination of ridiculous people and then people who didn't support his policies anyway. But we got all of that, and if you were to roll the clock back to 2015, What were we expecting in May of 2015? We're expecting Hillary versus Jeb Bush, or perhaps somebody else, but somebody of those ilk. And none of these issues would have been on the forefront. I mean, Jeb Bush referred to illegal immigration as an act of love. So you just wouldn't have had any of these discussions. And yet things would have continued to get worse, but you wouldn't have had the issues out there to talk about. Now we've got all this chaos. Huge parts of the country are just saying, we can't live together, talking about national divorce, talking about all sorts of things. So there is a lot of possibility. And, I think that's what you're recognizing. And the NJP people are starting to pick up on this, eh?
They are. I just wanted to pick on something you said. you made a very, very good point there. And you said something that Trump is anti-white. That's a bit of a mouthful. Trump is anti-white. And that's a good start. Now, I'm not saying, and you're not saying, that Trump is pro-white. Now, being pro-white is different to being anti-white. That's different. He's not going out there saying, you know, we need to do good things for white people. We need to make sure that white people are looked after, yada, 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 yada. He's not saying that yet, or may never say that. But what he is saying is that we shouldn't be anti-white. He's not saying, right, let's go out and look after white people, but he's saying, let's not victimize white people. But, and this is the important thing, by saying, let's not victimize white people, you are admitting that there is a problem of white people being victimized. And that in itself is a massive win, because you are then saying that somebody out there is making a conscious decision to victimize white people. And all of these things make a difference. And they also get people talking about issues of race. And whilst Trump may never, ever come out and say, well, look, we need to be pro-white or something like that, the fact that he's coming out and saying we shouldn't be anti-white, I believe to be a massive, massive step in the right direction. And a lot of people have this niggling feeling that something is wrong. There's a lot of people out there who have this niggling feeling that in the West or in America or in the UK, we've got a problem, and that this problem is, you know, something to do with, you know, the collapse of our civilization and things not going right. And fundamentally, you know, there is something here which isn't as we would want it to be. And that gut feeling that they've got and not being able to put their finger on it is, I think, quite a common thing. And when you have somebody who starts pointing out the anti-white agenda, dots start getting joined up for normal people. And as much as I would like to say that I am a super influential and important person, the level of influence I have on people's lives is much, much smaller by a long shot than Donald Trump. And I'm not saying that to denigrate myself. I'm not saying that, you know, for any other reason other than it's true. I am not got the influence Donald Trump has. Neither has Patrick, neither has anyone on, you know, the RBN network, sadly. However, when something like the Trump situation does crop up, as much as he can be a complete pain at times, you can't look a gift horse in the mouth. You can't look at the Trump situation and just wipe it away and say, he's got nothing to offer. Cross your arms, you know, put your nose in the air and say, look, you know, forget this. You have to look at it and say, what can we as a group gain from this? And I think there are things to be gained. And I think we can take positives from this. And I think those positives are that he does help people along their red pill journey. And as long as he's helping people along his red pill journey, as irritating as he can be from time to time, I do think, you know, we can't totally overlook Donald Trump. And we have to fundamentally look at things in an adult way. And an adult way to look at these situations, whether people like it or not, is what can we realistically benefit from a situation? So, for example, if something comes along that isn't perfect, there's often something that we as people...
Ground floor for fumery, stationery and medical, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Mm-hmm. Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
So, for example, if something comes along that isn't perfect, there's often something that we, as people with a certain degree of political agency, can gain from that situation, even though it's not perfect. And Trump isn't perfect, but there are gains to be made, and there are people to be woken up, and there are people to interact with, and people who are being set on the right path to knowledge and to freedom, etc. Now, I think that we can do something positive here, and I think we have to look at this in a pragmatic way. And although I'm not quite at the point where I can feel sympathy for him for what he's going through, for obvious reasons, I can definitely suggest that all of our people try to use this situation to our advantage. And unfortunately, white people are on the back foot, whether we want to, you know, believe that or not, whether we want to accept that or not, white people are on the back foot. We are becoming a minority in every nation we inhabit, whether we are the indigenous people or whether we founded that nation, whether we, you know, colonized it and founded it. But despite being on the, you know, when you're on the back foot, we don't have the luxury of just saying, well, you know, if things aren't perfect, we'll just cross our arms and, you know, wait for something better to come along. When things are as imperfect as they are, you have to look at every opportunity and try to turn, you know, what may be a negative or may only be a half positive into, you know, more of a positive for our people. And I think that Trump can do that. I don't think Biden can. And I would say since Biden's election, the situation in America has got worse. It's got worse demographically. It has got worse economically. It's got worse ideologically, in the sense that there is more anti-white, there's more of the anti-white agenda in America now than I've ever seen. Things have got, I think since Trump, the enemy have looked at America and said, look, this was a shot across our bow. Ultimately, Donald Trump represents a bit of an existential threat to our plans to dominate, you know, white America. And, you know, we need to look at this and we need to make sure that doesn't happen again. And one of the ways to make sure something like that doesn't happen again is to ramp up the anti-white agenda. And I think that's exactly what they've done. I think since Biden was elected, the anti-white agenda has been ramped up to such a degree that it's almost it is completely impossible to deny what is going on now. And bearing all that in mind, I do think it is absolutely important that we don't let somebody like Biden just come to power again. Because that kind of accelerationism, where there is nothing positive to be taken, will lead to complete disaster for our people. I think another sort of 4 or 8 years of a president like Biden would be so bad, you would have to start looking at things as how could white people come back from that? Because in the last week or so, I've seen that the statistics state that whites are going to be a minority now in America. We know that anyway, but they're saying whites are going to be a minority in America from approximately, I think it was 2045. So things are getting, you know, worse quickly. And I do think we need to do something before it gets to that point. And I think Trump, although not a definitive answer to our problems, I do think Trump presents a number of opportunities that we just simply cannot ignore.
And Trump, you mentioned that people know something's wrong. People have this feeling that something's wrong. And you do have a lot of charlatans out there who take advantage of this and then misdirect people. It's the Chi-Coms or, you know, the globalists or whatever. And one of the things about Trump, maybe I'm wrong on this, but Walt, he helps people know something is desperately wrong. What is he really misdirecting? He's really unclear about a lot of things. He's unclear, and of course, lately he talks mostly about himself. It's, you know, he doesn't blame everything on the Chi-Coms. He talks about a lot of individuals, and he gives people these insulting but often humorous nicknames, and you know, that can be funny. It's not as if he's really misdirecting people. And, you know, we'll see. Like, I do have a certain amount of sympathy for him, even though I agree with your assessment that, you know, his presidency was largely a failure. And, you know, one of the things that I do get sick of with Trump is when he's telling his crowd about how great things were when he was president, what a great job he did, because he didn't. I'd be much happier if he were honest and say, you know, I tried doing this, I made this mistake, or I tried doing this, but the deep state was way stronger than anybody thought. You know, they did things that nobody had ever heard of. That would be much more honest, and I could appreciate that. It's not the type of thing you can ever expect from Donald Trump, but he is certainly changing the landscape. That's for sure. Hey, we have about 7 minutes left. Do you remember You know John Lydon, who was Johnny Rotten from the punk band The Sex Pistols?
I certainly do. He's a man that you couldn't forget. Everyone seems to like him quite a lot in England. I've got to say, I wasn't the biggest fan of punk music. It was okay, but I wasn't the biggest fan.
Yeah, I had an electric guitar in the 70s, and I could play all the Sex Pistols songs, because they didn't have very many.
I quite like the guy, though. He's an interesting guy. Usually when he says things, I do listen. I'll say that.
And he has been, he was in the news lately, and he's very critical now of what's going on in the West. Leftism is, the West has gone way too far to the left, whatever that means. I don't even know what it means anymore. But he was critical of the mass immigration. He was critical of just all sorts of things. And, you know, who would have thought that Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols would emerge as the voice of reason?
Well, I find this really funny because people like Johnny Rotten, and he's a talented guy, and he's very good at debating with people. He's very witty. He's very on point. But I will say this. People like him raged against what was Britain. They raged against the things that defined Britain as both a country and as a nation, as a group of people. You know, the English, the Scots, and the Welsh. He raged against that, and I think he looks back now and misses what he fought. He misses what he raged against, and I think he misses what he raged against because sometimes you end up wishing for something or wishing to destroy something that seems terrible, but what you usher in is much worse. And I'm sure when he was young, he thought he was fighting against the squares, the stiffs, you know, the old guard. And he was fighting for freedoms and for anarchy and for young people to be able to do things that made them happy. And he looks at what that revolution has brought about. And it hasn't brought about something that he probably envisioned. It hasn't brought out a play about a place where, you know, there is freedom of artistic expression, where normal people are genuinely better off. It's brought about a place where people like him are being erased and taxed for the benefit of being erased. But more than that, I should imagine that when he raged against what was then probably, you know, a conservative society, he thought there were going to be more freedoms. He thought there were going to be less rules. He thought there was going to be more freedom of speech and more freedom of association and more rights, fundamentally. He probably thought, you know, there's going to be more rights to do what you want and say what you think, and this is going to be a freer place. And I should imagine as well that when he raged against the conservatives or conservative Britain, he thought he was creating a place where he and other young people would have the right to say more things, but he wasn't raging for a system that would stop the conservatives, who were then his enemies, from saying what they thought. He probably thought this is just going to level the playing field and everyone will be allowed their freedom of expression. And now he's looking at this and thinking, well, I said everyone should be allowed their expression and their freedoms, etc. But ultimately, now, lots of people aren't allowed their freedoms. And things that were said back in the day that were totally normal and acceptable are now not allowed to be said. And he's going to be looking, and I think he'll be thinking to himself, this liberalism, this sort of, you know, left-wing utopia, so to speak, that I helped to usher in, hasn't really brought about any form of utopia. It's brought about a more oppressive system than the conservative system that he raged against. And I think that's a very interesting thought to process, that often people think they're fighting for freedom, but what they bring about, or the system that they help to usher in, ends up being more oppressive than the system they were fighting against in the first place.
So I mentioned that I had played all their songs on my electric guitar, and I used to have the lyrics memorized. It's been almost half a century, so I don't know how well I have them still memorized, but some come back to me. And they, one of their big songs was God Save the Queen. God Save the Queen, the fascist regime that made you a moron, potential H-bomb. So what does that even mean? The fascist, do you think Johnny Rotten might be looking back and saying, actually, a fascist regime probably, it wasn't a fascist regime, but maybe a fascist regime would have been a welcome change. It wasn't a fascist regime, was it? And who was the prime minister between Heath and Thatcher? Was Callaghan? What was the guy's name?
I think it was Callaghan. And I think this is exactly the point that I was getting to, Patrick. Johnny Rotten was raging against a regime, and he believed he was going to create a better, more free world where there was going to be more freedom of expression and there was going to be more freedom of speech, and people would have freedom to be artistic in the way they wanted to be and talk about the things they wanted to talk about. And he believed that conservatism was fundamentally a force for bad, was a force that prevented freedom and freedom of speech. But I should imagine he's now looking back and thinking to himself, well, actually, the regime that I've ushered in is more oppressive. There is more state oppression. There's more CCTV. There's more state monitoring. More people today are silenced for their opinion than they ever were in the 1970s.
Yeah, the surveillance. There was a Sex Pistols song that was called Holiday in the Sun. I want a holiday in the sun. I want to go to the new Bell Sun. I want to see some history because now I've got a reasonable economy. So the Bell Sun, I guess, is one of the so-called Nazi horror camps, whatever they were. And, so he's singing about that as if this, the 1970s, and I don't know if he wrote these songs under Heath or the Labour Prime Minister Callaghan. Was it a new Bell Sun? Was it really they had a reasonable economy? Well, then you don't have a reasonable economy anymore. You're overrun with Indians and you're ruled by Indians now. It's weird. And you go back and you look at what people in the hippies in the 60s and the 70s, what they were afraid of and what they were talking about and what they were afraid of, to the extent it panned out. You mentioned the CCTV and the censorship. It panned out not from the people that they feared, but from the people that they trusted. How's that for irony?
Well, I think that's exactly the point I'm making. They believed that a more liberal, more open, and ostensibly less oppressive society would come from some kind of left-wing revolution. And instead, that left-wing social revolution has led to a far more oppressive society than under the conservatives. And I would say that people like John Lydon would have naturally felt that a conservative Britain was the greatest threat to the artistic expression of a youth that was being held down and stifled. But I would say now there are far more youths being monitored by state bodies like Prevent and different sort of quote-unquote anti-terror groups, which aren't really anti-terror groups. They're just there to, monitor and demonize people who have opinions that don't actually dovetail with the mainstream. That is happening to a far greater degree. And also the other thing that John Lydon will probably be seeing is his country being taken away. And that'll make him feel very, 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 very uncomfortable. These people were often champions or so-called champions of white working class or a white working class culture of sorts, or what they felt was a representation of white working class culture. But fundamentally, as things have changed in Britain, that representation of white working class culture, where is it today? The people that they would have met in towns and cities all over Britain when they were playing their gigs, when they were performing, when they were, touring from, when they were just starting out and they're in small pubs and venues. Twitch the header's beard. From now he always shall be single. To fall in love with boys is weird, especially boys without a tingle. Like Anna, his taste is rather odd. Like Anna, a randy little sod. Lord Flashcott, I wish you were the star. Lord Flashcott, you're sexier by far.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
All over Britain, when they were playing their gigs, when they were performing, when they were, touring from, when they were just starting out and they're in small pubs and venues, well, those communities that they will have once seen will have completely gone now. Completely gone. They won't exist anymore. They could go to places in, say, the old East End of London, where I'm sure they knew, and they wouldn't find a single white person. And then you've got to ask yourself, has this brave new world panned out the way you wanted it to? Has it created Has it created a better place for the people you thought you were representing? And the answer is undoubtedly no. And I should imagine some of these people now are starting to realize why their friends in small hats in the media were so quick to promote that kind of social revolution through their music. And it wasn't a social revolution designed to help people. You know, the Sex Pistols and their anarchy in the UK wasn't actually pushed to help young people be more free. It was pushed to fundamentally alter the structure of our society to bring about a revolution that would actually replace those young people. And when you think about it, that's incredibly sad, but that's what it was. And, you know, John Lydon, for all of his verbal ability, his wit, and his talents, he was used by the anti-white system to help, you know, demolish, you know, the structures of our society. And all of this has been for the worse, to our detriment.
Yeah, and that brings it around full circle. You mentioned the people in the small hats. We haven't mentioned the people in the small hats. And, you know, you had people in the 60s, 70s, whatever, from whatever community, whatever age, and they had gripes. They thought they had some grievances. Were they legitimate? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. But has, to the extent that they thought they were getting any address or redress of their grievances, no. It's like the old Shaggy Dog story. You know, a guy sees a sign for a shaggy dog, goes through a whole lot of rigmarole, because that's what a shaggy dog story is all about, a whole lot of rigmarole to get the shaggy dog to the owner who he thinks has lost the shaggy dog, only to be told, yeah, not that shaggy. And this is what's happening. People, to the extent they wanted things, they're not getting what they wanted. And why is it? Well, why is it? Because the people who are supposedly on their side were actually wearing little hats and had their own agendas. But we're coming up to the end of our time. I want to thank you, Mark. Do you have anything you want to tell the audience before we say goodbye?
No, just maybe. Thank you for being with us. Thank you to everyone who took part in our white our International Day of Pro-White Action. It was a great success, and just thank you. Huge, huge thank you.
And how would people see the results from that day of action?
Don't worry. We're busy working on collating them all. It was almost 600 this year. It was up about 20% on last year. So there is a lot of collating to be done, Patrick. It's so much fun doing these things. It's not as good fun putting everything together into video packages and collating all the information afterwards. But we had a great time, and who knows, we might even do it again next year.
Okay, and we can talk about that a little bit next week. But thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
You won't admit you love me. And so, how am I ever to know? You always tell me, perhaps, 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 perhaps.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.